Okay, we're going. Hello.
How do you do, Jane?
We're in the Sherwood again. I don't think I live in here. tell us who you are.
My name is Anthony Tonin, and I'm a musician originally from Dunedin, and I currently live sort of nowhere because I'm playing Queenstown tonight, and I've just been touring around the South Island with the Phoenix Foundation. When I finish here tonight, tomorrow I'm going to take a plane to Auckland, do some repairs on my keyboard, and then fly to LA the next day.
Okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. The ripping noises you can hear is not Anthony ripping off his Superman outfit. It's actually sellotape. It's very technical. We're sorting out his keyboard while we're sitting here. So you're originally from Dunedin?
Yes.
And got into music when? At school?
Yep. Late in school.
Yeah.
So I definitely came to music a little bit later than most of my friends.
Yeah.
I did do piano lessons when I was a kid, but I wasn't good, and I quit when I was 16.
As did I.
But when I started learning guitar, then something snapped, and I irrevocably embarked on a path of poverty and despair.
Oh, welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Was this something that you continued to do after school? So you said, right, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Pretty quickly, I was like, when I got past learning David Bowie songs on the guitar and started writing my own songs.
Yeah.
I then said, this is it, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to do that, and I went to university and studied music.
So you're proper.
Well, I also did a history degree. To be honest, I was never really that good at music. I was a better historian.
Yeah.
But that's been the story of my career in music. I've just wanted to do it so much more than anything else that I've had to become good at it.
And I think anything you do, I think particularly creative, I think it doesn't matter whether or not I don't think you have to be good or amazing, or if you absolutely love doing what you're doing, I think go do it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I think around anything that you think you've decided, right, this is what I'm going to do, just go do it.
Yeah.
And you know, work out what happens later, which is kind of what I'm doing at the minute. That's all good. Your sound, I don't know if you'll like this or not like this, it depends.
Yeah.
You remind me of Bernard Sumner from Blue Order, from New Order.
Oh, cool.
You've got a very
great
New Order sound to me.
Oh, great.
Who's a very, I absolutely love New Order, so... yeah, very and sound very similar, and the kind of instantly when I listened to your music, that was the first thing I thought of.
That's great. That's a different one. I mean, that's something that I would. That's the kind of comparison I'd love to get. Especially something. I mean, there's not in my live set at the moment. There's a lot more. I've gone from being, you know, from writing essentially what are kind of urban folk songs.
Yeah.
But in my live set, my music has moved more towards some sort of kraut disco.
Yeah.
And is getting progressively more kraut disco. Hence why I have all this new electronic equipment that I duct tape to my keyboard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love New Order, and I love the sense of what's that word for when you morph state. I love the way that the Manchester scene got to morph from Joy Division to New Order to Happy Mondays.
Yeah, completely.
And how did it happen? Like, how did you go from guitar bands and you know, something that was very influenced by punk to this wonderful, life-loving, debaucherous.
Do you know what it was? Drugs. Drugs. No, honestly, like there was around those times the drug scene in Manchester changed because of the drugs that were coming into the city. So
right.
I'm from near Manchester. Not yeah. that I'm saying I was involved in the drug scene, but when you look back to that time, like around the Hacienda and
yeah.
all that time, the drugs that were in coming into the city were totally changed. So, it had a lot of influence around music, and it had a lot of influence around people who were, you know, students who were sitting around playing music in their student flats, taking drugs, and the yeah. whole sound changed.
Wow.
So I think it's a really interesting thing to look at when that stuff filters over here.
Yeah.
Because you hear music and you listen to the radio, and now we've got internet. But around those times back then, we're so far away from other music, and I find yeah. it really interesting for me, people of my age who were brought up in New Zealand, how they got that music. Like, where yeah. did that come from?
Yeah.
Because internet wasn't widely available.
Drugs were widely
available. But like, you know, the only thing that I think you guys had would be newspapers and reading about stuff and
yeah.
music. And I find it interesting when I say to people of my age here, oh my God, you've heard of so-and-so, and they're like,
yeah.
well, yeah, of course. And it's like, but how did that get here?
Yeah, well, it used to arrive here quite late, like often a year late. And it's often said, and sometimes if it wasn't a very popular thing, then it arrived 10 years late.
Yeah.
And, you know, the music that I love from Dunedin, my hometown, all kind of started because in the early 1980s, somebody finally got a copy of the Velvet Underground's album 10 years too late,
and 300 people sat around one CD
eight track or
yeah.
record player
yeah.
or whatever
yeah.
it was, and you know, they became yet more people who, like Brian Yono said, you know, only 30,000 people bought the Velvet Underground album, but all of them started bands.
Yeah, and there you go.
And because that happened 10 years too late in Dunedin, it came out in an interesting and unusual way that made it attractive to the rest of the world
yeah.
as well, I think.
So when you're on stage, is there just you?
There is at the moment. So I have a full band who I tour with reasonably often in New Zealand, and we're playing some festivals over the summer. And I'm working on a two-piece version of my act, but when I'm touring overseas, generally I'm solo.
And you just wanted to be, you'd never wanted to be in a band? You always wanted to be...
Oh no, I always wanted to be in a band, although I always liked solo shows. I've always really enjoyed them. But, you know, I think everybody dreams about being in a bandy band. But at the same time, you know, the way that music is now, and the way that, you know, our lives in New Zealand are, you know, being so far away from the rest of the world, it's just getting 4 airfares to USA and
yeah.
4 visas
yeah.
is just makes it impractical. And rather than let that sort of stop me doing anything, I choose to celebrate it and make something really interesting that isn't just me with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
You know, going to Australia or America.
Yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's me with a full band stuck in my head and in the psychology I do with the audience.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't just try to replace the band with technology. I replace it a little with technology, but I mostly replace it with what I do with the audience and what I get them to
yeah.
imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're in a hotel room and you want to throw the TV out the window, there's no one actually to show it to.
Yeah.
You're not like, hey, band members. Oh, there's nobody there. That's just me.
Yeah, it's funny. It's been great touring with the Phoenix Foundation because they're so experienced at all of this, and they they're going to Europe after this tour, and they've got 6 members. And they've got 4 crew members, and they really work, you know, and they really get out.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Luke about the experience, and he said, oh, yeah, it'd be a very different vibe touring solo. And I said, oh yeah, but you know, touring with a band is so much fun. And he said, but the fun never ends.
Yeah. You just want to go to bed at 9:30.
By yourself.
By yourself.
And the nice thing about touring solo is I can make all sorts of executive decisions, yeah, and there's no one to tell me otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. So before we get on to LA, we'll talk about briefly Silver Scrolls.
Oh yeah.
And sure. That, do you want to explain kind of that process and what happened? And also, I guess because Queenstown is a very international destination, a lot of people don't know what Silver Scrolls is.
Yeah.
So do you want to kind of explain what that is and how that process happened for you?
Yeah, so the Silver Scrolls is New Zealand's most regarded songwriting award. And most songwriters in New Zealand are members of an organisation called APRA, which is basically the lobbying body on behalf of people who write songs.
Yeah.
And once a year, they choose 20 songs, which they think are, you know, a good representation of the year's best written songs. And then all the APRA members, of which there are 10,000, get to vote on which song they think is the best. And from those votes, they choose a winner, but they also choose five finalists. And so a couple of months ago, I got an email saying that I was not only in the top 20, but I was one of the top five finalists. So I was also in the running to win it. To my surprise, it became this real whirlwind of TV appearances and media interviews and suit fittings.
Yeah.
Getting ready for this really amazing award ceremony, yeah, that happens once a year in either Auckland, Wellington, or Christchurch. And the thing it's really famous for is that they have an amazing musical director who chooses other bands to reinterpret the five nominated songs.
Okay.
And so yeah, I got to go along and wear a suit and have a musical act that was completely different to me reinterpret the song with a full orchestra, which was really, really special.
Yeah. And what an amazing experience. Yeah, to be part of, I suppose.
It's the kind of thing that you do, you know, thinking about me in my bedroom transitioning from learning David Bowie songs to writing songs. That's certainly, you know, up there with the big dreams in life. So yeah, it was a really nice experience.
I'm just looking at a beautiful guitar lying on the floor here.
Yeah.
What is this that you're...
This is a Yamaha SA-12.
Very nice.
It's from 1968.
It's beautiful.
And it's one of a kind that you do not see very often.
No.
This series was one of the first guitars that Yamaha imported to mostly New Zealand and Australia, and that's where you're likely to find them. They didn't sell them in the United States or Europe.
Ooh, listen to that noise.
And they were a good tester, just cleaning the strings, good tester guitar for trade, because we had really high trade tariffs at the time.
I love it.
So we couldn't afford...
Get real life noises.
The more well-known brands of guitar,
yeah,
coming out of America. But it's beautiful and it sounds
very
great.
Beautiful. So I'm playing the Sherwood tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Any tickets left?
I think there are a couple, but not many.
Okay, so the Sherwood tonight on Frankton Road in Queenstown. And just to wrap up, do you want to tell us about where you're heading to on Monday?
I fly back tomorrow, and then on Monday I fly to Los Angeles and start a US tour, which will take me a month and a bit.
Yeah. And what are you expecting from it? Have you got any expectations, or are you just going to go and see what happens?
I think that it's going to be the start of a few years of activity in the States. So I've been there on and off for the last two or so years. And about a year ago, I finished my album that I'd been working on while I was kind of in between touring, and I'd been, and then I settled into planning mode here. But now planning mode's done. The album's out in New Zealand and the USA and Australia. And for the next year, I'm gonna need to tour it overseas. So this first trip gives me a chance to play some towns I haven't been to. It also gives me a chance to play CMJ Festival in New York, which is a good place for me to, I guess, make some sort of splash or statement about what I do, and we'll see what happens from there. I've got a great team over there, a great record label that's really helpful, and to be honest, the hard thing has just been getting a visa. And now I have one of those, I can do my part of the bargain with the record label and go on tour a lot and try to sell lots of records for them.
Yeah, because I mean, I know when I spoke to Anika Moa a few weeks ago, and she said, I don't want to go to America. I want to be here. Like, I want to stay in New Zealand and I want to play New Zealand. And I actually don't want to go over there and be a superstar over there.
Yeah, that's
for
awesome.
You want to be over there, or do you want to?
I mean, I think that Anika is incredible, and she, what's inspiring about Anika is that she has built this great domestic audience. And my friend Tom Scott is like that as well, Tom from a hip hop group called Homebrew. And they really built up a fan base here that was big enough that they could do that. And he mostly tours New Zealand and Australia. I think that I would love to do that someday as well, but because my music is so eccentric, I think for me to build enough of a following in New Zealand, I first
need to
expand and to see where else it will fit, and then maybe I can. I feel like in my career, I've always been working from a place of strangeness. But I've been developing that strangeness into something that's so attractive that it's eventually going to be very accessible for people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to, you know, have the option of just touring New Zealand.
Yeah,
it'd be great, especially as, you know, as I start to get older. that would be a nice thing.
Yeah. But I'm really, really excited about seeing you tonight. And what I was just going to do is direct people to your where they can find you.
Yeah.
Where are
you? Well, let's spell it because it's difficult.
Spell it. you spell
so
it.
So my name is Anthony Tonin. It's A-N-T-H-O-N-I-E. And then Tonin, T-O-N-N-O-N. So instead of a Y on Anthony, I have an I-E.
You need a new stage name.
I know. Well, I kind of like that it takes a little while to figure it out. I had a guy tell me last night that he's like, I looked on YouTube and you don't come up at all. It's like, well,
you got to spell it right.
Use a Y.
Yeah, there you go. So that is that .com? .co.nz?
.com.
.com?
Anthony Tonin.
And you're on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/AnthonyTonin.
Awesome.
Once you've spelt the name once,
you'll have it forever. For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll see you tonight. A few tickets left. Head down to the Sherwood.
Wonderful.
Boom.
Thanks for chatting.